you. We magnify you, Lord. You are our provider. Your mercies and goodness, mercies are renewed every morning. We thank you and we glorify you, Father. We thank you, Father, that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We look a lot better in you than we do out of you. Father, we thank you that you chose to put your Holy Spirit inside of us. The comforter, the teacher, the guide, the intercessor, the standby. God's own personal GPS. He is an entity called the Holy Spirit, a person of the Godhead. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. What was meant for evil always turns for our good. We thank you, Father, that you inhabit, you enthrone yourself upon the praises of your people. Father, we worship you not for what you've done, but we worship you for who you are. You are faithful unto 1,000 generations. We thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you that you loved us so much you sent your only begotten Son. We worship you and we magnify you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you, Father. You measure the universe in the span of a 9-inch span. Father, you weight the balances of the hills, the oceans in the palm of your hands. Father, we thank you that you even number the grains of sand. Lord, we thank and we praise you that we worship you, that you lead us and guide us from the north, the south, the east, and the west, all through this land. It doesn't matter where we go or how we flow, but by the Spirit of God, we will know the things that we do and see, because we always reap what we sow. And as we do these things in faith believing, we will not be deceived, but by faith we receive the things that you have said before, because we know you and we trust in you, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you for this day, and out of our mouth we will begin to say, the Lord is my helper, and I fear not what man may do unto me, because it's not me, but it's thee. So we thank you and we praise thee for the things that you've done in the name of your Son. We thank you you go before, and we thank you are behind. We thank you that you cause all of our steps to fall right in line. It doesn't matter if we stumble or we fall. You reach down and pick us up and make us once again tall. For in your sight, we always have spirit and this might, because it's always the power in the very hour that we need. It doesn't matter, but you always, what we meant for evil, you give us double for our trouble. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you this day as we do it right where we stand and open our mouth and say, we just thank you and we worship you and we glorify your name, because we know that when we come in your presence, we'll never leave in Jesus' name. In the same in Jesus' name. Everybody just praise the Lord right now. Just enter in. Just enter in. Just enter in right now. Father, tenderize our hearts. Tenderize our hearts. Father, we are asking you to cultivate the hard places in our heart. Make them smooth and make them soft. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Interrupt our lives. Don't let us be on the merry-go-round of unbelief, doubt, and strife. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. Take us up on the high places. Yes, Lord, give us grace to run this race as we seek your face. Don't let us get too far or too far behind. But let us just stay on pace. Yes, until one day we see you face to face. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you, Father. You look past our faults and seen us for who we are. Father, I thank you that we serve the God that knows every place in our hearts. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for. In the midst of trouble, we just lift our hands. We lift our hands and we worship you, Lord. We thank you. All other ground is nothing but sinking sand. Upon this solid rock we will stand. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you for the proclamation of your word. We thank you for the manifestation of your word, Father. We thank you, Father, for the illumination of your word, Father. We thank you and we exalt you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you. There's no shifting shadow in you, Father. We thank you. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I thank you. You know our future better than we know our past. You know that if we trust you, that the things we're facing will no longer last. They will come and they will go. But Lord, we will come to you, Father, for we know that you, those who come to God must believe that he is, that you are going to reward us. And that is something that you please us through the name of Jesus. Thank you and I praise you, Lord. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I glorify you. Some of y'all are right on the verge of getting a breakthrough right now. I could just tell you that right now. You just got to keep knocking. You're not begging. Listen, you got to have an action to produce the reaction. Knock, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open. When you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Why? Because you submit yourself there unto God. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. God's not hiding from you. He's hiding for you. He said, I've always been here. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Father, we pray that you'll bring us into perspective. Father, we worship and we glorify you, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. We glorify your name, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you. What you've been praying out, you just need to praise out. Just worship God. Thank him. Act like what you've been praying for a long time just happened. Amen. Just worship the Lord. Just thank it. Lord, we thank you. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we want days of heaven up on earth. So we're thanking you for the is. We thank you it is passing. We thank you it is coming. It's right here. We receive it and believe it in Jesus' name. We believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. We believe and receive it in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank and we praise you. Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. Do y'all have anything? Do you have anything? Praise God. You got anything? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We did this in Wichita, Kansas about 3 weeks ago. Just let God move. And I'm telling you, like an hour and 20 minutes later, people are getting up off the floor. Sometimes you just got to let God come in and say, excuse me for a minute. I just need to interrupt your life you're trying to figure out. We're not going to make it happen. We're just going to let it happen. Amen. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, you're not our co-pilot. You are the pilot. You're the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. I glorify you, Lord. I magnify you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, I see that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We worship and we praise you, Lord. We worship and we praise you, Lord. We worship and we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if you want, you can be seated. If you want, you can stand. You ain't going to bother me. Praise the Lord. I was sitting there praying, and I thought, what is going on here, Lord? Sometimes if we ask, you said, call on the men, I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. I really believe the Lord said, I'm just tenderizing their hearts to get ready. I've just been making sure it's smooth and soft tonight. Amen. I don't have to preach. I already know what I'm going to preach on. I got the notes, so I don't need to know. Praise the Lord. I just want God to be God. I could care less. My goal in life is just to bless the pastors and make sure that you're part of the wave and just create some momentum. Amen? Put some grains of sand in you. Irritate you. Just get you all to where you can't sleep until you do the will of God. Amen? Until you surrender all. You don't sing it. You just do it. Not like an old Chinese proverb that says, let your actions speak so loud they don't hear what you say anymore. Praise the Lord. I have people some coming up saying, well, you're getting fat. I said, well, you're ugly, but I can lose weight. Amen. Just got to be happy in life. Go on the journey. Take it. Go with the flow sometimes. Praise the Lord. You know, Hebrews says, exercise your senses by reason of use so you can discern between that which is good and evil. Amen. You know, I got a friend of mine that used to bench press about 75 or 95 pounds. Years later, I realized he said he was up to 565 pounds. Now, I thought about that. He didn't go to the gym the first day and say, I got $12.48. How many muscles can I buy? But we do that to God all the time. We're asking God to give us stuff that we already have. We're trying to become somebody we already are. And, you know, a lot of times we just got to rightly divide the word. And, you know, I found out that those weights didn't make him stronger no more than trials and tribulations in your life to make you stronger. I could take those 565 pounds off, put him on his chest. It's not making him stronger. It's suffocating him. Might be breaking his ribs by now, sternum or whatever. Well, the key is he learned a technique called resistance. You know, when we was praying, I just remembered something the Lord, I believe, spoke to me a while back. He said, a lot of my people are trying to, have the They're trying to receive something. I'm trying to remember how he said it to me. He said, they're living off the action. They're living off the reaction, not the action. And I said, what do you mean? He said, they're trying to receive something they've never asked for. They're trying to find something they're not seeking after. And they're wanting doors to open that they've never knocked on. And they're wanting to resist the devil so he can flee. But what's the action before that? Right before that, it says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. That's the reaction. What's the action? Submit yourself there unto God. He said, God, where are you? He said, I've never left. You know, I remember an older couple that was driving down this country road, and she was sitting on her side, and he was sitting on his. He was driving, and they was following this young couple going through. And, you know, it went on for several minutes, and she had her head on his shoulders and just kissing him on the cheek and, you know, putting her fingers in the back of his hair and stuff like that. And she goes, honey, do you remember when we used to do that? He goes, I sure do. He said, well, why don't we do it anymore? He said, I didn't move. I thought about that. I thought, you know, God, why don't you visit us like you used to? Why doesn't salvation and what this relationship, you know, it seems as real as it used to? He said, I didn't move. See, when you draw nigh to him, that's the action, and it produces what? The reaction when he draws nigh to you. Amen? See, there's a lot of times we don't need healing. We need to uprooting in our lives. I mean, think about it. We get prayed for the same thing all the time. We go in cycles every month, every 2 months, every 3 months. We go back into the same working. Now, I'm smiling right now. Amen. But don't get to the place to where you know about your medicines more than you know the healing scriptures in the Gospels. I mean, some people can tell you not to drive 2 hours before this or after this. Don't mix it with this. Always eat after you take that. Whatever you do, don't combine these two. I said, well, what about the healing scriptures? I said, you ever tried the Gospels? I mean, we have a doctor named Luke. Come on, amen. You know, God's trying to heal your heart. I grew up with a guy that wrote the song, Achy Breaky Heart. I seen his dad before he passed away. He said, what are you doing now, Todd? I said, well, Ron, let me put it this way. Billy Ray's out singing Achy Breaky Heart, and I'm praying for a lot of achy breaky hearts. He says, I got it. Amen. So if you got your Bibles tonight, turn to Luke chapter 17. This is going to be a sermon that's going to, I pray that it's going to, I really believe that what God was doing was cultivating, stirring, you know, plowing up some hard ground in our hearts, making it smooth, making it soft, mellowing it out so you can receive some seed tonight. Amen. And pull up some roots. How many knows when after it rains, it's a lot easier to pull up some roots. Come on. Amen. And the only Holy Spirit can come in. Now, this just came to me. You know, in John chapter 15, it's that he purges those. When you bear fruit, a fruit is a what? According to the Vine's Dictionary of our own New Testament words in the Gospel of John around verse 15, chapter 15, it says it's visible expressions of power that work inwardly and invisibly of the character of the power producing it. So work is basically an action, but a fruit is the result of the action. You shall know them by their results. Amen? So the thing is a lot of times if you don't watch it, you'll get into a place to where you're not bearing any fruit. So what happens is, it's almost like you have a lot of foliage, but no identification in your life. I think this is my personal opinion. I don't want to ever be called a prophet, an apostle, or whatever. If I don't have enough fruit in my life for you to tell me what I am, then why am I telling you? I'm not looking for a title. Come on now. Now, I know sometimes you can pull it out of the trunk like a spare tire when you need it to get from where you're to where you need to go. You put it back in the trunk, but you don't use it as a hood ornament. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But John chapter 15 says when you bear fruit, he purges those. Or let me make sure I get it right here. This just came to me. We're going to get to Luke 17. Amen? You okay back there, Clint? All right. Just making sure. You got to be nice to the sound man. He can turn you off in a minute. Or sound woman. John 15. I just felt like to go this way right now real quick because I got a little bit of ground to cover, but I really want to show you this. He said, I am the vine, my Father's the husbandman, and every branch, you and I, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth or purges it or cleanses it that it may bear more fruit. Now you are cleansed through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, so more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, for without me you can do nothing. One translation says this: however, apart from me, cut off from the vital union with me, you can do nothing. Now watch this. If you're going out and trying to do the work of the ministry without having a relationship and trusting and doing the things of God, all you are bearing is artificial fruit. You have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. You're not the source of your achievements. That's why the little foxes try to come in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. We said it this morning. It's to wind tightly like a rope, that word spoil. If he can't get you out of church, he'll neutralize you in church. You'll have a form of godliness. You have the label as a Christian, but really Christ-like. Because Jesus says you'll know them by their results or their fruit. Amen? So that's why I said at the end of the service today, this morning, God doesn't want you just to learn to witness. He wants you to become a witness. Amen? So what's this word pruneth or purges mean? Now, I don't know how the whole process works, but the more you get into it, you almost get bits and pieces like putting a puzzle together. You can see what it looks like on the box, but you're thinking, okay, they make it to where it just tortures you. I quit doing it. It's like watching reruns of Gilligan Island. He's never getting off the island. Amen? I did watch The Rescue, and guess what happened? He got back on the island. Said, no more. So when you begin to bear fruit, the things that is inside of you, God needs your cooperation, but it's only through the Holy Spirit. We're trying to get things naturally out of our lives that are attached to us spiritually. John chapter 2, if you look at that, it says, from the drawing to the serving, the water was turned into wine. From the drawing to the serving. What you're doing tonight is you're drawing it. When you leave that door, you're going to serve it. You say, well, I'm not this smart. It doesn't matter. The genius lives inside of you. He doesn't look for your ability as much as your availability. You might not be the best at doing something, but that should never hold you back from giving your best to do it. He just needs to show up. He wants you to be a spectator. Don't limit your God by the way you think. He's already can do above and beyond. He's thinking so much bigger than what you think. The devil is actually intimidated by you when you know who you are. It's not you that liveth, but Christ in you. When you got saved, God had to introduce you to your new self, but the devil always reminds you of who you were. So when you begin to bear fruit, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes in, and He only can do the work that the Holy Spirit can do. And He'll cut off, He'll cut off the, now watch this, we read it in Hebrews chapter 12 today, 1 and 2. Lay aside the very sin, necessary weights, and the sin which so easily besets you. When the Holy Spirit comes in, when you begin to bear fruit, I don't know how He does it, but He'll come in and He will cut off the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. But your job is to lay them aside and put them off. He cannot make that decision for you. But the moment that you do that, then you have that word pruneth is also another word called a lifting off of heaviness. When you're about the Father's business, you came here tonight to take care of the Father's business. In His house. But He's at your house taking care of your business. Because when you go in and you begin to activate this stuff, you know, one thing I've learned about teaching my son and different people when they're just, well, I don't see it yet. First the blade, then the ear in the full corner there. You're not, listen, God needs your process of you just complying with Him. How can two walk together unless they agree? So when you begin to bear fruit, the Holy Spirit comes in somehow, cuts off the weights and sins that so easily beset you, then all of a sudden your job is to put it off and lay it aside, and you keep walking and going forward, and He keeps that process up until all of a sudden you realize that you are walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And I don't know how it happens, but sometimes they call it from going from glory to glory to glory. Because His yoke is always easy and His burden is light. I've been praying a prayer. Lord, teach me how to live life smarter, not harder. Amen. I love shoveling snow and cutting grass. It's really weird. I love to iron. I love to cook. I really do. I enjoy it. But if it's too cold, I've learned to do things smarter where I live. If it snows about 14 inches, I know in about 8 hours, if it snowed overnight, by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, half of that will be melted off. So I'm not going to go out and get mine done first. I'm going to let God help me. If I trust the S-O-N, then He's going to bring the S-U-N. And then later I can have F-U-N. People say, well, why aren't you coming out? I said, it's too cold. This is your wimp. I said, yeah, but I'm a warm wimp. I don't get it. When you pressure me to do something, I go slower. Well, this is the deal of the lifetime. I say, well, praise God. I already got it April 28, 1974, accepted Christ in my heart. Yeah, but this is not going to be around here. I said it was here last week. Luke chapter 17, look at verse 1 through 6. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Now, how many knows offenses or temptations, it's used in one translation, snares and traps set to entice to sin are sure to come. You're in the world, you're not of it, you're not going to separate the wet from the water when you go swimming. The key is don't swallow a half a gallon of it, end up on the bottom, and your friends come out the next day, and you're on the bottom of the deep end. You're part of the pool now. You're in the world, but don't let the world get in you. Well, it's really tough. Yeah, it is tough. But when His grace is sufficient, grace is simply God's ability. You do not have the sufficiency in your ability to do it. And if you think you can, you're not going to hell, but you have fallen technically from His grace. Because you think His ability is not sufficient. Because why? You're so used to being in control and doing it your way. I'm smiling. But woe unto them through whom they may come. It were better for him to hang a millstone who were hanging around about his neck and cast into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones. Now watch this. Take heed to yourself. Who are you supposed to take heed to? Yourself. The person in the mirror. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Now, one translation says it this way. Pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. For if your brother sins or misses the mark and comes to you, and watch this now, and if he repents for having sinned against you or feel sorry, which is not part of repentance, I'm going to tell you, that's an attribute. It's an emotional response from the actual decision. Repentance is when you turn. You make a change of direction in the way you think, believe, and speak, and the way you live. And forgive him. Even if he sins against you, now watch this, seven times a day, and turns to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive him. That is, give up. Say give up. Resentment, and consider the offense as recalled and annulled. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith, that trust and confidence that springs from our heart, belief in God. And the Lord answered him, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could say unto this mulberry tree or this mountain, be thou pulled up from the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, here's what I want to get across to you. This first part is going to be a little bit detailed. It's like putting a crossword, you know, the connected dots. We're going to have a lot of dots, but then after that, it's going to flow. Because I want to put something to rest right now. He recognized a sycamore tree, or sycamine tree in some areas you pronounce it. It's the same thing. Jesus was pointing out something very specific to his disciples. Jesus told his disciples that they needed to forgive those who sinned against him. But notice this. He is trying to teach you to have forgiveness with no strings attached. It's not a forget, forgive. What I want to teach you tonight is how to forgive from your heart. Not your head, from your heart. Big difference. Because a lot of people are walking around sick. They're constantly in depression. They feel isolated. They come in and they worship with 150 people and they feel like they're on an island by themselves. They feel like a banana that's away from the bunch, and they feel like they're the ones that's getting peeled every day. They just don't understand why today was like yesterday, and they are sure that tomorrow will be like today. And they just in a merry-go-round, and they're not living life. They're going through it hoping something might change. Well, in the heart is where it starts. He said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. People said, man, I got a lot of issues. I said, I do too. They said, really, how bad? I said, no, I got good ones. There's times that things that try to come bad, and they're there. I'm not denying them. You know, I don't deny the fact when sickness comes on my body, but I deny the right to stay there. If Jesus died to it, I'm not living with it. Amen? I speak to my body. My tongue controls my body. Come on now. The spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead, it quickens my mortal body. He rejuvenates it, revitalizes it, and makes it alive with new life. But if you have bitterness in your heart or unforgiveness, bitterness comes after the unforgiveness. It's almost like it's derivative came from unforgiveness to cause that. Resentment, bitterness, whatever it is, anger. Amen? It's not wrong to be angry. But don't let it go to resentment and bitterness. Don't let it take root. Okay, let's get into this because I got a little few things to cover here. I just really believe this has been on my heart. So you can't control people or how they react or respond. But you can control how you react and respond. Reaction is when you take no thought, you do it out of emotions, and you basically do a head bypass thing. But responding is when you stop, you gather the situation, and you make a collective response, or you vocalize it, or you react a certain way, but not out of anger or emotions and do this. That's almost like when you get mad and you push an aerosol can. Your mouth is the aerosol can. When you push it, you can't put it back in the can. Amen? So here he said, forgive. Now, whenever I see the word forgive, it just basically means let it go. Let it go. Amen? Whatever you do, let it go. Let it go. Just forget it. Yeah, how many times? Seven times. If they come back, seven times. Now watch this. Here's the biggest thing. Just when I was studying this and reading and just going over stuff, all of a sudden I realized, just through different resources, that the disciples thought the reason they couldn't forgive seven times is they had no faith. He said, well, increase our faith. Jesus was basically saying, this is not a faith issue. He said they were trying to, watch this now, they were trying to use their lack of faith as an excuse for not being able to forgive. He said seven times, meaning each time somebody truly repents, forgive them. He said if you just had faith as a mustard seed, you could say unto that mountain, be it our room. He said it's not a faith issue. So watch this now. He said, only the mustard, I call it this. It doesn't take much faith to forgive, but here's the thing. It takes a decision. When you make a decision to choose, then you can go and listen to the Word of God and walk in forgiveness as long as you need to. Can you put up Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 26? Jesus used the sycamore tree. We're going to go to this. I want to show you something really interesting here. You ever notice this? I was reading this in Romans 12, 3, where he has given us the measure of faith. Did you notice he never gave us a measure of unforgiveness? So faith is not the issue because we already have that. You've got the measure. He didn't give your pastors like 8 units and me 2 units and somebody else 9 units. No, he gave us the measure. Faith is like a muscle. It has no status. Faith and muscles have no status quo. They either are always growing or going. Amen. Well, I've heard that before. We'll just take another trip. Yeah. Faith doesn't come by having heard. That's old manna. Look at this. He said, Jesus replied, saying to them, have faith in God constantly. Now watch this. He goes to verse 23. Truly I tell you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Now see, that's where the devil wants to get. First, he wants to get in your mind. Because if he knows he can get you in the arena of the mind, then he can drop that seed down into your heart. That's where the soil is. Now watch this. In your heart, but believe that what he says will take place. It will be done for him. Look at verse 24. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it will be granted you. And you will what? Get it. But that's what happens right after this. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them and let it drop, leave it, let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive your own failing shortcomings and let them drop. But if you don't, I think you and I would get along right great on a deserted island. Amen. Come back and drink some water. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. Faith worketh by love. Galatians 5, 6. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You want all things to work together for your good? He said, those who love me, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. Those who love me and are the called. Now watch this. It says God causes all things. You don't do it. He said, I just need your compliance. I already know the way. I know where you're going to end up. You're just going to have to trust me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. But when you do, in all your ways, acknowledge me. Because if you give place to the enemy, then your eyes are off of me. And when you give place to him, because whatever you yield to, you eventually become filled with. So I need you to walk with me. How do you walk with God? You think what he thinks, believe what he believes, and says what he says, but most of all, you just do what he says to do. I'm going to show you this here in a minute. So when you're doing that, all of a sudden, God begins to do something in your life that you can't do for yourself, and all of a sudden, he will come and put the super upon your natural. Because when you draw from the Word of God, and then you go out and apply it to somebody else or even into your life, he will put the super upon your natural. Amen? So let's get into this a little bit more. So he's not giving us the measure of faith. Now he said this. One place it said in verse 25. Can you put verse 25 back up for me too, please? He said, I'm trying to find the word here. It says, forgive your own failings and shortcomings. One place it says here, don't hold anything against or have anger, a grudge, or anything that was wrong done to you. These are all these different translations of different things. But one thing he said was this. He said, do not hold anything against somebody else. Because why? Because if you judge, you will be judged. You know, I found out there's three things to my knowledge. I mean, I know there's probably more, but there's three things that I have found out that belongs to God. The earth and the fullness thereof, vengeance, and the tithe. He said, that belongs to me. Take your hands off of it. Come on. So let me ask you this. I'm going to just throw this question out and see if y'all can get a hold of it here real quick. Not that I'm trying to challenge your intellect. I'm just saying, a lot of times I ask young people this real quick and they give me a response right across. I said, would you rather have 10% of a million or 90% of 100,000? Most of them go for 90% of 100,000. Y'all see what I'm saying? Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. I said that one time. See, I responded. I reacted instead of responding. I didn't stop and think and say, okay, wait a minute, 10% of a million is 100,000, but 90% of 100,000 is only 90,000. Oh, wow, I'm glad I stopped before I... You got to think before you answer. You got to think before you react to people or respond to people. Because you got to consider that a lot of times we see what they did to us, but we don't know what was done to them. Amen? So God is wanting you not just to get healed yourself. He wants you to go out and be an example of His forgiveness that was not just shown upon the cross, but through your life. You win more people to Christ saying, man, they treated you like, I mean, it was bad. You know, a friend of mine I preached for in Nashville, he's preached for Brother Hagin many times. And he said one time he went up to Brother Hagin and said, Brother Hagin, you know they did you wrong. You know they did you wrong. He said, why don't you just say something about it? He said, well, he says, you know, they may have already asked God to forgive them, and I would be judging an innocent man. You want your prosperity to break loose? You want your health and healing to break forth? You want peace in your family? You want all these different things to start springing forth? Because out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So he said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what I do is I've learned to guard my mind. I've always keep my heart. Come on. Keep your heart with all diligence. And I put a guard about my mind. I never went to the bars when I was growing up in college, but we had one of the top 20 party schools in the nation. People think I'm making this up, but it's Eastern Kentucky University. Go Big E. They had a Big Mac, but we called it the Big E Burger. Amen? I really enjoyed college. It made me think different. Some days I would eat vegetable soup and rice, and sometimes I psych myself out and eat rice with vegetable soup. Amen? Now I forgot what I was going to say, but it was good. Amen? I get on these little rabbit trails. I forget what it is. Now all of a sudden it goes, oh, there it is. So the sycamore tree. Jesus used the sycamore tree to symbolize the detrimental effects of unforgiveness in a person's life. I'm going to show you five character parallels here. Are you all ready? Yes. Now he said the sycamore tree here has the deepest root. It says it has the deepest roots of all the trees in the Middle East. Cutting this tree down to its stub or base does not guarantee it will still die. Well, the thing is when we put this in our life, it said that unforgiveness has the deepest root structure of anything else. Number two, this tree grows best in arid and dry conditions where they have no water. People in unforgiveness, they grow everywhere in all areas where there is no, except where there's an outpouring of God. The worst thing you can do is get in unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, and all these things, and then become successful in life at something you were called to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God has plans, but always the devil's trying to distract you, disrupt you, and do this. God's always trying to put you back. He's trying to put you back. He chastises who he loves. The devil only comes to condemn, still kill and destroy, but Jesus come to convict and give life in it more abundantly. Amen? Okay, number three, this sycamore tree's wood was the preferred wood to build caskets in the Middle East and Egypt. If you stay in unforgiveness, it will kill you and take you all the way to your casket. Number four, this tree's fruit, which almost looked like the fig tree's fruit, look much like the fig tree, sweet, very expensive, eaten by the wealthy. But the sycamore tree, a lot of times people would bite into it thinking it was a fig tree, but it was actually a sycamore tree fruit. It was very bitter and eaten by the poor and very cheap to buy. If you have unforgiveness in your life is going to be sour, and you're going to have to eat it periodically, and it will last you over a long period of time. It will keep you poor in all the areas of your life, your soul, your relationships, your friendship, your relationship with God. Number five, this tree was not naturally pollinated. It was only pollinated by when a wasp stuck its stinger into the fruit. If you live in unforgiveness, you're going to have people sting you if you allow unforgiveness to stay there. People are going to sting you. The devil's going to sting you. The key is you don't want to pollinate that root of bitterness. Amen? So how do you get unforgiveness and bitterness out of you? Can you put up Ephesians chapter 4 verse? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Because, you know, when you're offended, you're going to trip and stumble. Amen? The Bible says a just man. It didn't say a man in unforgiveness or bitter man or resentful man. It said a just man may fall seven times, but it'll keep getting up. The devil's trying to trip you up. The devil's trying to stump you. How? Offenses. Offenses are what people do or what people don't do. Can I give you a great illustration of this? I gave it to you in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 11, when the two words, what was it that the Syrian king said? Nahum? He said, I thought. I thought he'd come out here and do this and wave his hand over the place and pray this. But, you know, I thought he would let me wash in some of these other rivers than this. And a servant came and said, if he would have just asked you to go and wash and be clean, you know, ask you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? He said, all you said, he told you to do is go and wash. Unrealistic expectations. Listen, I've sat back there so much, and I've been back in those rooms a lot, and I've been out here a lot, and you want me to tell you what I found out? I'm not saying this because I'm here. I'm saying it because it's just a fact. People always say, well, I left because I thought my pastor would do this, and I thought this. I gave money towards this, and I thought this, and I thought this. Okay, wait a minute. Did you give your money as unto the Lord? Yes. Okay. Did he tell you to do that? Yes. Did he tell you to come here? Yes. Then you've done your part. You showed up. You gave. It's out of your hands. Let it go. Yeah, but that, no, there ain't no buts about it. Because if you watch it, you're going to be pollinated with a sting here in a minute. And your anger is going to go into unforgiveness and bitterness. Let it go. Amen? People sometimes, it's really interesting. People, listen, I've been there. I grew up helping pastors behind the scenes in the 80s and 90s. I've seen it. I've traveled for 27 years now. I've seen it. I'm not an expert. I'm just telling you from my observation. You can disagree. You have that choice. 200 people to church and he walk out. And they go, why have you been back in 3 days? I walked right past Pastor Ricky and Pastor Chelsea out the doors, and neither one of them shook my hands. I said, let me ask you. I've done it. I said, let me ask you a question. How many people go to your church? About 150. I said, if everybody had two hands, how many hands there is that? 300. I said, how many hands do they have each? They said, two. I said, isn't it better for you to find one of their two hands instead of them trying to find one of your hands out of 300? And I said, what was you wanting to do? Them to shake your hand, or did you want to go and shake their hand? Amen. Spirit of slap wants to come on me sometimes. No, I'm telling you, it's my fivefold outreach ministry sometimes. I just have to watch myself. I want to slap somebody, make them turn the other cheek, make sure they're walking in love. Amen? No, I don't do that. But I do. I have the spirit of slap sometimes. I just, bless God in heaven. Up on the wall you go. So how do you get forgiveness out of your heart? You make a decision to do it. If you don't make that personal decision, he said, take heed unto yourselves. Take heed. You cannot have somebody to pray for you to get unforgiveness out of your heart. Prayer is not going to do it. The only thing I know that will get forgiveness is your words when you say. He says, you say unto this sycamore tree. You take heed unto yourself and you say. Why does he say throw it into the sea? Because plants with roots do not grow in the seed unless they came from the seed. How long does it take? As long as it takes. There's people that I really sometimes just, God knows my heart, I'm just going to tell you. God, it'd be a great time for you to just demonstrate what you did in Elijah's day and just send fire down on a few people. I got addresses right now. And the Lord said, go look in the mirror. Okay, Lord, forget it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because what happens is we are still self-conscious. We get hurt. It's us. When we have a depression or a pity party or whatever, we go and get in a room and turn the lights out or listen to you. We want something to appease our flesh. We go to the fridge and eat and eat and eat and eat. And we do all this stuff. Amen? People are not depressed. They just like to eat. People say, you know anything about diets? I said, yeah, if you stuff, you'll be a puff. If you indulge, you'll bulge. And if you walk in unforgiveness, you'll eventually wither up and die. You'll age before your time. I don't care how many healing scriptures you quote. Amen? Let me look at Matthew chapter 2. Y'all, so easy to preach to. It's like having three fishing rods are all biting at the same time. I don't know which way to go sometimes. Matthew chapter 6. Let me see why I wrote this down. It's so funny. I write so many notes. I have to remind myself of what I'm talking about. He said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Did you put up Ephesians chapter 4 yet? Can you put it up again? Oh, thanks. What's your name, Richard? No, yours. Yeah. Okay. I've been praying for a long time. Let me have instant recall by the Holy Ghost so I can remember. People say, well, when you get 40, your eyesight goes. When you get 50, your mind goes. I said, I keep mine with me. I don't let it out of the yard. Amen. I might not know where I live, but I know where my mind is and my eyesight is. Let all bitterness. How much bitterness?
All
bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen. I'm going to say it again. You cannot get forgiveness out of your life by praying about it. You've got to make a decision to walk. Put up Luke 17:3, please. Or you can put up 1 through 6 and we'll find out where 3 is. You got to take heed unto yourself. You can ask people to agree with you and say, give me the strength. Ask God to just do something in my life to give me the ability. I like to say miracles come in cans, or I can do all things. Amen? I can do all things. I can do all things. How much do you do it? You keep saying it until the thing in your life is in the ocean. It's out of your life. It's not alive anymore. It doesn't bother you. How long do you keep doing it? As long as it takes. I don't know your life. I know mine. People say, were you still praying about that? Yes. I want to keep my heart with all diligence. I've only got one shot at this life. I got 30 years probably left on this earth. Aren't you going to live to be 120? No. I want to shoot for 90 first. I'm not going to take something to make me go to the bathroom and I can't get out there in time. I'm out of here, amen? I'm just being honest with you. Well, you can believe God. I do believe God. I should have been dead many times over, amen? And I'm not living on bonus. I'm living on the power of the resurrection. Come on, He is quickening my mortal body every single day. I like what, when I went to Norville High School before Brother Hagin, I went from slow to slower, amen? Norville would just walk around and it literally scared the bad stuff out of you, amen? He'd walk up and go, you got to get mad at the devil. And you're like, yeah! He's like, what did he say? Praise the Lord, you got to get mad. I saw him cast out devils. I saw people curl on the floor like a snake with a hunchback. I mean, just crazy stuff. 7 men holding one person down. And Norville's just sitting there going, I tell you, you're coming out. I'm not that you're coming out. And I thought, praise the Lord. I like to learn from him from the behind. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's right. You know, Smith Wigglesworth walked in such faith because he had such love. He woke up one night and the devil was sitting right there in his bedroom. He looked over and said, oh, it's only you. Wore back and went back to bed. Amen. There was one minister, I don't know if I like to drop a lot of names, but one minister, true story. He said he was, got in from a meeting. He was real tired. He went in this room. He laid down. He was sitting there and he looked up and it was just enough light coming in the room. He said there was the biggest demon he had ever seen in his life. Sitting out real broad and kind of up because he was kind of a short preacher. He looked over. He said, I thought, my Lord. It looked like almost like Batman, I guess, he said. He said it was just real. He said, I sat there and rebuked that thing. He said, I wasn't getting out of the bed. He said, but I rebuked that thing. He said, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. I command you. He said, every once in a while, that thing just kind of moved like this. He said, yeah, I command you in Jesus' name. Then it would stop. He said, I go back at it again. He said he did it all through the night until the sun came up. And when he looked over, it was his raincoat hanging over there. And the air conditioner or something would kick on and move back and forth like that. He said, don't tell me you have problems. He said, I rebuked my raincoat for 5.5 hours. Well, why didn't the Lord tell him? The Lord's like, watch this. This is going to be fun, guys. Let's see how long he does this. Amen. If thou shalt say, boy, if you write anything down, if thou shalt say, if you say, when? Say, until it leaves. I don't care if it is your raincoat. You keep saying. You got to have perseverance. It's a determined attitude that's persistent. How are you going to bear forth fruit in Luke chapter 8, verse 15? You bear fruit when you have good ground, you bear forth fruit with persistence. That means you got to do a lot of weeding and a lot of feeding. Our voice, our individual voice, represents our authority. Listen to this. I wrote these things down because I always remind myself, your voice is your address in the Spirit. If you don't speak, you lose by default. The only thing that will touch heaven and earth at the same time, the spiritual and the natural realm, is the words of your mouth. I speak the word of God. I tell you what, I'm getting off on my stories, but I need to do something here real quick. When you begin to talk to yourself, the counselor, the Holy Spirit will begin to show up. Amen. But instead of talking to yourself, people rather listen to themselves talk. That's why I bring my notes. I like to highlight. Praise the Lord. I wish I was on the radio one time. Just talking about patience today and love. Tell your brain, your feelings, your emotions to shut up. The authority over this issue of unforgiveness. It's in your mouth. You got to talk to your body. Sometimes I get, I'm not making this up. You can ask my family. I'll go in the bathroom sometimes. And they'll go, who are you talking to? I said, I'm not talking to you right now. And I'll take my glasses off. I said, Todd, quit looking at your eyebrows. Look at me. Right here. Todd. I do. I used to do this all the time. I said, you see there? That little piece of meat, you don't want to talk about anything else in the whole world. And you think you sound funny right now, and you think God can't do it, and all this and that. How much more funnier do you think when God said you can do it, and you think, I can't do it, Lord. I used to hold my tongue out and give myself a pep talk. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And anytime I was about ready to say something, I would stop and go, I am not going back to the bathroom. Because I've learned to control my tongue. I'm trying. I'm not perfect, but I control it. One of the worst things you can do is gossip. Of all the six things that God hates in Proverbs 6, there's one that engulfs all six. It gathers them all up. Touches all six of them. One thing, you know what it is? Gossip. Because the priest, what do they call them in Jewish? They're priests, right? Rabbis. Thanks. Alex and Alexa. The rabbi said, gossip is worse than actually murdering the person because the person that you are murdering with your words are still alive and you can do it day after day after day. I remember one time I was growing up and I got bitterness against a couple people because I thought they let my dad die in the hospital. And the Lord told me one day, he said, if you can't love them on earth, how do you expect to love them here? And what they, and then what else did he say? Lord, you, and then he said, I said, but you don't know what they did to me. And I heard this. Apparently, you don't know what they did to me. I said, okay. I had to release them. Every time I think about it, I said, Father, bless them right now. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Amen. Let me hurry up. I got some more things. Our voice, our individual voice, represents our authority. Amen. So did you do verse 3? Oh, we already did, didn't we? That's all right. Let's pass it up. Make a decision today and say to the sycamore tree to be cast in the ground. We got to use our authority through our voice because it shall obey you. Amen. It shall obey you. As I said, the sea is salt water. It cannot reroot. It cannot reroot. It's a permanent deliverance or being set free. I'm going to give you an illustration. The Bible says to know the truth and to continue in it, and the truth shall set you free. Verse 31, 32, and then verse 36 says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's where I'm shooting. I want to be free indeed. I don't want to be believing God for health. I want to live in divine health, that when it touches me, it dies instead of me getting sick.
Amen.
Amen. So James 1 says, continue in the truth. He says in James 1, he said, continue therein, be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and this man shall be blessed in his deed. Well, when you obey the word and you begin to walk in the word, it is a deed that God performs and manifests in your life. How? Because he said, when you continue into the perfect law of liberty. But if you're not a doer and only a hearer, you're deceiving nobody but yourself. And when you're deceived, you don't know it. And if you don't think you can be, you already are. You stumble at things you don't even know. His word does not become a lamp unto your feet anymore. You'll stand in churches and you stand in church and lift up your hands and praise the Lord. It's like water running off a duck's back. You feel isolated in a crowd. You feel lonely. You don't feel like tomorrow is going to be like any better than today because today was just like yesterday. It all starts with the heart, for that's where the issues are. When you get set free, see, my uncle, two of his sons I grew up next door to, one of them has driver's license, the other one's like Mark, he's like 13, I was 12. He went to a church softball game. He was about 3 miles from the house and couldn't get the old pickup started. It was a in the column. It had the windows that turned around this way and blew the air in. It was better than any swamp cooler around, amen? Especially when you go about 50 down the road, you're like, oh, praise the Lord. And it had the side guards here, and they had the chains where the came all the way down on the bumper. And you, if you didn't want it, you keep them hooked, and they come down. But my Lord, it was made out of solid steel. Yeah. When you're 12 and 13, and you're sitting there trying to push that thing, how many knows when you're pushing something? You say, well, I've been asking God, I've been releasing them, and it keeps coming back. I keep forgiving them. I keep speaking. They say, what do I do? Continue therein. The Bible says when you've done all you have to do, it says what? Stand. You know what that word stands translated? Continue. Yeah. When you've done all you know, let me use the Kentucky phrase. Keep on keeping on. Yeah. Amen? Pastor Chelsea said something before. She said, why don't you all go around and greet each other, some folks or something like that. I thought, my God, I'm back home. But where we lived, it was mainly cousins. Amen? We all just kind of. It's just a lot of cousins. Amen? Who are you? I thought my name was Clarence Bailey's son until I was 12. That's Clarence's boy. Who's that? Clarence Bailey's son. Oh, okay. Didn't ask for Todd. It's just Clarence's boy. Because they knew Clarence, and they put it in the category of their brain. Amen? Yes. If you don't watch it, you'll do people that way. No, I don't like them. No, they hurt me 5 years ago. No, 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 no. No. I don't care what, no. No. What they did. And you'll find people, like in Luke chapter 6, when they come around, he says, if you follow the blind, then the blind will lead the blind, and they both will fall in the ditch. Why? Because anybody that you listen to that's contradictive to the Word of God will become your teacher at that moment. Yeah. And when they fall into the ditch, you'll fall in with them too. Yeah, I know they hurt you. You know what? God understands. He knows your heart. Huh. Yeah, He does. He's watching it every day. Amen? Okay, let me hurry up here. I forgot what I was going to say. You may have a reason the way you are. Well, this is just the way I am. I just have an issue. No, you don't. But you do not have an excuse to stay that way. You may have a reason the way you are. Well, it's just how I am. My great-grandmother had a bad temper, and my grandmother had a bad temper, my mom had a bad temper, and I just have a bad temper. I guess it just runs in our bloodline. I said, not mine. August 28, 1974, Russell First Christian Church, O.M. Pokey Miller was given the altar call, and this little kid, about 112 pounds, almost 12 years old, walked down with my plaid outfit that matched. Amen. I had squares that had dark blue, light blue, and white spots. It zipped all the way up in the front. Had the nice long pants in it. I had white shoes. I'm not making this up. The soles were that thick in the front. I walked down there, man, looked like an anorexia kid from there. No, I was skinny. I had to jump around the shower and get wet. Too much information, right? But I went down and accepted the Lord. It came out, and I got the picture ingrained in my head when I looked out the double doors of that church in front of 500 people. I got up there. I knew something happened to me because when I looked out those doors before I walked, I got the image still in my head. I knew Todd Bailey had died that day, and somebody in Christ came alive. I don't know how to say. All of a sudden, bless God, I went into the phone booth, but when I came out, boom! I was like Todd DeBod, amen? I just came out. But the thing is we've got to get to the place where we don't use excuses how we were. If you're born again, your bloodline stopped April 28, 1974, like mine did. I went from one bloodline to another. Sure, I might look and act like my parents. I might have a lot of traits and different things. What's your family history? Well, I can tell you my family history. Well, what about your medical history? I said, a lot of things happened a long time ago, but I just went into a different bloodline. Oh, you had a blood transfusion? Well, you could say that kind of, but I'm just telling you something. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I got born again, and when I got born again, God says, Todd, let me tell you something. I'm going to introduce you to your new self. You knew who you were, but I'm going to show you who you are. And I got up there and he said, if you just do what I say and just walk in it all the days of your life, I'm going to bless you beyond measure, and people are going to be astounded because I'm going to use you as advertisement. Just show off my goodness and mercy and grace in. You only have the keys to the prison cell you're living in right now. You're right there. All you have to do is walk out. Remember, you cannot control others. The Word of God is voice activated. You got to speak it out. Release them of this offense, this little fox, suffered wrong. Dismiss it, and it has been forever sent out and cast into the sea. Now, I'm reading off my notes. When you do this, you have given up the right to bring that offense, that little fox, or suffered wrong from your past and release it or give it an audience. Do not let the devil live in your mind rent-free. You shouldn't be in there anyway, but don't let him live in your head rent-free. You forfeited that right when you forgave that person. Put up John chapter 8 real quick, please. The woman caught in adultery, amen? You know, Jesus, when he forgives you, it's called transgressions, wrongdoings, rebellions, sins, and wickedness. But he doesn't forgive it from the north to the south. He cast them as far as the east from the west. And I was sitting there looking at that, thinking about that, and I thought, wait a minute. If you go far enough north, you head south. If you go far enough south, you'll head north. But east and west never cross each other again. There's times God's forgiven you so perfectly that you have to remind him of something he forgot. Look at this. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Praise the Lord. And early in the morning he came into the temple, and the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Now watch verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman that was taken in adultery when they had set her in the midst. It says one says in the very act of adultery. You know, I had two questions. What were you doing there? And number two is, where's the man? And they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what saith thou? Verse 6, I believe he started writing their sins on the ground from the oldest to the youngest, because that's who left first. They said, tempt him that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. You know when people start talking to you about somebody else or doing this and that? I'm going to say, what do you call these? Ears? I call them trash cans. I don't allow nothing go in my trash cans. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her," or cast the first stone. Look at verse 8. "And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground." Part 2. "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own consciences, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." This is so good. I wrote about this last year. Oh, this is so good. "When Jesus had lifted up his head himself, he saw none but the woman, and said unto her, 'Woman, where are thou accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?'" Look at verse 11. Did I only give you verse 10? Okay. I was just leading up to something dramatic too. Forgive me. No. Look at this. She answered, "No one, Lord." And he said, "I do not condemn you either." Because see, he only came into the world to convict, not to condemn. "Go on your way." In other words, I want to show you how to recalculate right now. "Go your way from now on and sin no more." In other words, let it go. That's the direction. Start walking. Now, I want to say something. You can write it down if you want. You don't have to. The only one qualified to throw a stone that day didn't. Are y'all still okay tonight? I don't mean to keep going longer. Jesus is our example. Hebrews 4:15, real quick. I'll go through this real quick. You know, God is love and love is of God. Jesus said, "If you see me, you've seen the Father." He said, "I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say." He said, "My Father and I are one," in John 10:30. He said, in Romans 5:5, that the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts through the Holy Ghost who was given to you. You are activated, and it's through your voice. The Word of God is voice activated. I went into a bathroom. It was really nice 20 years ago. Everything was motion activated. The toilet flushed itself. The soap came out. The water came out. Everything. But I had to provide motion. But what happened was when I left, I thought, wow, that was really cool. I got on the plane. I had my Bible. I was doing something. And the Lord began to speak to me. And I believe he said this. He said, "Everything you need is right there. But there's one thing I require. My word is voice activated." The bathrooms are motion activated. The word is voice activated. You have what you say. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have shared feelings with our weakness and infirmities and liabilities to the assault of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning." Can you go on down and pull up John chapter 15, verse 13 through 17? Oh, you're really good. You get a Christmas bonus. "Greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth, but I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father I have made known to you." Look at verse 16. "You have not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained it. You should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Does that sound like Mark 11:25-26? Look at this. These things I command you, that you love one another. It's non-negotiable. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 44, Jesus in his teachings taught us. He says, "You've heard it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy." He said, "Watch this. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, and do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you." What did he say? Love them and pray for them. Now watch this. I'm getting somewhere here. Verse 45. Did I not give you the rest? Oh, yeah, that's all I gave you. Well, I got it here. Let's go on, because I got some other things I got to do. Jesus, during his crucifixion, showed us his forgiveness by his example. In a 6-day span from John 12:13, they said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." 6 days later, Luke chapter 23, verse 21, they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." He said in John 13:21, "One of you will betray me." And on the cross in John 19, the Roman soldiers gambled over his garments and over his clothes. It's one thing to be insulted when they They don't strip. They didn't. I don't think they strip it off of him. I believe they took it off of him very softly because it was of great value. What made it of great value is who it was upon. I'm getting somewhere here. Matthew 27. There was three things mentioned. The thief was reviling him. The religious leaders were mocking him, and the crowd blasphemed him. That word revile means to speak abusively, to insult someone, or speak words that are cruel and vile. In other words, it's verbal abuse. Jesus is dying for the sins of humanity, and he's having verbal abuse on the cross. Hebrews chapter 3, there's another one in Hebrews chapter 3, but we won't get there. But Isaiah, what was his response? Jesus in Isaiah 53, 12 said, he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressor. Another one in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That word forgive has three different things I wrote down. Father, release them. Father, don't hold this against them. Father, releasing it, it's as if it was the same as releasing a prisoner or setting someone, but rather... As in releasing a prisoner or setting someone, but rather from an act they carried out, it was a decision that you do not hold something against someone, but to liberate a person from the consequences of their own actions. We covered the prodigal son, and forgiveness from the heart. Now, if you allow me a couple more minutes, I looked up before when we got done praying and worshiping the Lord. It was about 20-some after. Here's what I want to get across to you real quick. Hebrews 12:15 says, look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. Watch out that no bitterness take roots among you, for as it is springs up, it will cause deep trouble. It says, hurting many in their spiritual life. I wrote this down before I came over here. Your actions have consequences. What you do affects others. If you put a brand new piece of clothing that's maybe red to a whole batch of laundry, it's going to affect every piece of clothes in there. Come on now. Amen. I'm going to ask you seven questions. If you say, how do you know you have forgiveness or bitterness? Well, let me do this first. There was a man named Jimmy Evans. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. I don't mean to rush at the most important part, but this is so important. There was a gentleman, I was going through some really rough times in the last few years, really rough, probably the hardest I've ever went through. And the Lord told me, he said, every day you wake up, you got a choice. You can get bitter or you can get better. Went through a lot of stuff. But when I compare it to what other people went through, like my dad giving me perspective about losing both legs and I'm complaining as a 9 or 10-year-old about my feet hurting. It reminded me that people are going through things worse than I am. And I'm going to have a testimony because I'm going through the test. I'm going to prove that God's Word works in my life. I can't answer for nobody else. But I said, I have got to find somebody that has went through this worse than I have. There's a man that pastors named Jimmy Evans. He's good friends with Robert Johnson. I don't know him. He don't know me. But I got friends that actually know him in Amarillo and stuff. He took over a pastorate at 29 years old. He's in his mid to late 60s now. But he said there was a gentleman in his church. He said, from the pulpit, he said, I'm going to be honest with you. God already knows my heart. Three people right now I hate. And if they died, I would have a party. He's behind the pulpit. He said, I'm still trying to work on me. But he said, God already knows that I'm having trouble with this, whatever. He said, but there was one man that tried to run my ministry privately and publicly. And the Lord said, pray for him. He said, I'm not going to pray for him. He said, pray for him. He said, no, I'm not going to pray for him. Next day, pray for him. No. Next day, pray for him. Nope. Next day, nope. 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 One day he said, I want you to pray for him. Every day the Lord said, pray for him. He said, no. And one day he said, okay, I'll pray for him, but I'm going to have my fingers crossed and I'm not going to mean it. And the Lord said, pray for him. He prayed for him, and on the 10th day he had a vision. He said, I seen about a 8 to 10-year-old boy, I think he said, somewhere around there, 10. He was sitting in the middle of a field by himself. He said, I seen his face, and he was traumatized. And I said, Lord, he said, who is that? He said, that's the man you're praying for. He says, you know what he did to you, but I know what was done to him. And I need you to pray for him. He said, immediately, all that bitterness, anger, and everything. He said, I learned to forgive from my heart. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Verse 18 and 19 says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be bound in heaven. Verse 20 says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am is in the midst. I am what? A deliverer. I'm a forgiver. I'm whatever you need at that moment. But, verse 21, then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times? I wonder, is this Amplified Classic? Okay, how many times may my brother sin against me and I forgive him, let it go? It's up to seven times. Do you remember in Luke 17? Seven times? Now watch this. Jesus answered him, no, not up to seven, but 70 times seven. He knows it's not a faith issue now. It's a decision, a personal decision to take heed unto yourself and let it go. Watch this. Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a human king who wishes to settle his account with his tenant. This is very important, and think before you answer. Now, that addition right there is probably 20 years old, if I'm not mistaken. So it could be a lot more now. When he began to take the accounting, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents, probably $10 million. How in the world did a servant get a $10 million credit line? I think different. Look at verse 25. I'm trying to hurry here. Verse 25, please. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and his children, everything he possessed, and payment to be made. I thought, at least make him work some of it off. Now you're going to give him shelter and food and a place to sleep. Now look at verse 26. And he said unto him, why, you are timid and afraid, oh, you have little faith. He said, then he got up and rebuked. Wait a minute, what's this? No, it's Matthew 18. Here, I got it right here. It's okay. No Christmas bonus. You got to forgive me. Here, I'll hurry up here. He said this. He said in verse 25, and he could not pay, and his master ordered him to be sold, his wife, his children, everything he possessed, and payment to be made. So the attendant fell down on his knees, begging him, have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything. Every single time I read that verse, I'm telling you, I'm starting to laugh right now. I just want to say, liar, liar, pants on fire. And his master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him and canceled him, forgave him, canceling the what? What debt? The $10 million. Y'all got that? Okay, verse 27. But the same attendant, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants and owed him about 100 denarii, whatever, about 20 bucks. Caught him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. The fellow attendant fell down and begged earnestly, give me time, I'll pay y'all. I believe this guy. But he was unwilling, went out and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. What's this thing when people owe you money, you put them in jail? When his fellow attendants saw that what happened, they were greatly distressed, went out and told everything that he had taken place to their master. And then his master called him and said, you contemptible and wicked servant, I forgave and canceled all that great debt. What debt? $10 million. Amen. If I'm wrong, I'll stand to be corrected of your wrong because you begged me. And you should have pity and mercy on your fellow attendant till he should pay all that he, wait a minute, no, had pity and mercy on you. So he's saying you got to have pity and mercy or forgiveness on him like I had it on you. You begged me. I gave you. I released you and canceled that. In wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers or the jailers till he should pay all that he okay, think. What does he owe? Think. The debt was forgiven. It's the king's law. It's wiped out. It can never be put back on the books. If I'm not mistaken, the king's word is law. It can't go back. It was the debt that he owed that he was given of unforgiveness, mercy. He says, until you forgive him, you're going to be in the prison and tormented. He had the key in his mouth. Look at verse 35, so also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you. So also my heavenly Father will deal with Todd. Put your name in there. If you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart, his offenses. From your heart, his offenses. From your heart, his offenses. I've only shared this twice publicly. I'll be dramatic. Let me just read this before I go. I know I went over, Pastor. I apologize. I'll try to be respectful. I'm going to ask you seven questions, and I'll take a couple minutes to share something. You have if you answer yes to any of these, then you probably need to forgive from your heart. You need to go in with your mouth and start to plow up some ground and say, God, I don't want it in my life. I forgive them. He prayed. You got to pray for people until it's gone out of you. There's no set method. 7 questions, let me ask you. See if it pricks your heart about anybody. You have an imaginary conversation in your mind with somebody. You feel the need to slander someone to other people. You replay a conversation or an experience over and over in your mind. You're happy when someone else fails. You feel anger every time you hear a particular person's name. You don't behave naturally around a person, and you complain often. It says you probably got unforgiveness in your heart still. And I'll share this. I won't take it. I'm trying to respect your all's time. When I was going through a situation, I thought, I can't get any worse. And all of a sudden, I was introduced to 300 new levels. Because I found out the only person that I needed to change was me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because nobody else has, nobody here can control my life like I can. I'll stand to count. Amen? Now, I don't really have visions. I don't mind to. I don't seek them out. But when they come, I'm there. But I've seen screenshots. I've seen myself one day, real quick, I seen myself about 80 feet away, and I knew Jesus was on the cross right here. I was to his right about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. I don't know how to tell you this, but I knew almost who everybody was. I knew there was a lot of Pharisees and whatever of the priests were over here. I could see the Roman soldiers here, and I seen some spectators. But I noticed 2 people right at the foot of the cross. To the right was Mary. To the left was John. I just knew it. All of a sudden, I seen a second screenshot. I seen myself up on the ladder because, you know, my dad was in construction. I was up on my ladder the other day on my house. But you can turn around and the gutter line can hit you about right here, but the ladder keeps going up a little bit. And I'm looking down now because the roof line is about 9 feet because the ceilings are 8 feet a lot of times. Well, I get up there and I'm looking down probably at 12 feet down or 10 feet. All of a sudden, I could see people and I knew it. I didn't see their faces, but I kind of, that they were glad I was up there. Some people were wondering why, and some people were sad I was up there. And I thought, this is really strange because you always climb a ladder this way to get off and get on the roof. But I'm sitting there turned around looking down at all these people that had gathered, and all of a sudden the 3rd screenshot. I realized it was Jesus' view from the cross, and I heard this. A lot of people see their perspective of me on the cross, but very few see my perspective from the cross. And when I looked down, guess who I seen? To the right, John. When I seen it the first screenshot, John was to the left. He was to the right, Mary was to the left, and all this. I'm not saying by any means or stretch of imagination that I felt what Jesus felt. But I had an inkling that his body was in shock. My whole body felt cold. It felt like parts of my body was numbed. I knew there was open cuts all over my body. I knew that I was trying to push up to breathe. I knew that. I never seen or heard or read about this to my knowledge, if I'm not mistaken. The crown of thorns on the head, I could tell they were engulfed almost at places and woven in from the swelling. And the blood was caked heavy like makeup all over his body now. It was dried. I just knew that. And he's looking down. It says, John, in the middle of all this agony, marred beyond the recognition, man, he said, John, let me paraphrase it. John, take care of my mother. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. When I said, God, you got to speak to me. You got to show me how to get through this because I have to reach my generation. I have to fulfill the calling of God on my life. I have to be an influence to those who around me. I am not going to draw back and shrink in fear. I'm not going to let the root of bitterness come into my life. But I need you to come through your Holy Spirit and show me as a comforter what I need to do. I seen that view there. And this is what I heard, and I'll close. He said, son, I'm about ready to be made. He didn't say son. He said, I'm about ready to be made sin. My body is beaten and I'm marred beyond the recognition of any man. I'm hanging between heaven and earth. He didn't commit sin. He was made to be sin. And he said, if I can stop and take care of the details of my mother's life, you can guarantee it that I can take care of the details of your life. It left it. Completely left. He said, but you're going to have to keep your heart. Every day I pray for certain people. I have a list. I pray for them. I bless them. I call them out. I bless them. I pray over them. I bless them. Why? Because I'm going to keep saying until that list has no more names. And everything that I feel against them is in the sea, not ready to reproduce in any way, because I want His burden to be light. I want Him to flow in me and through me and out of me, because what they did to me does not compare to what He did for me. Did y'all get anything out of this? I went a bit long. I know I went long. I apologize. But let me tell you something. We're dealing with the sickness, the depression. We're trying to medicate. I'm not against medication. Thank God for it. In July, man, I got hit with everything in the world. I had COVID and double pneumonia, everything and all this. And my doctor's like, people said, what did you do? I said, I stayed hydrated. And when I woke up or felt like I could just move my hand, I would say, by His stripes, I am healed. And Father, I release anyone that has done anything against me, release me if I have anything done against you. I release them, now release me. Father, I thank you, the healing power. Norville Hayes would say this all the time. I believe the healing power of God's working in my body now to make me healthy. You want me to tell you why I had faith in that? Because I knew my heart has been healed, and therefore I knew my body had to fall in line. You want to get freely free? Learn to forgive from your heart, not your head. Yeah. Amen. Amen? How many's born again in here? Let me see your hand. Amen. I give altar calls backwards. Now here's what I want to do. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. Thank you again. Thank you all so much for letting me come. But it's just not a one-time fix. It's not going to the DMV. Man, I'm glad I got that done with for 6 years. Every day you got to write a list out. Go over those questions. Ask God. Healing will spring forth. Your mind will become sound again. God will restore the years that cankerworm had eaten. All of a sudden you feel like you're not going through life. You're living life now. All of a sudden purpose comes back into your life. All of a sudden you realize, my God, His grace is sufficient. And you realize that love had already been shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Ghost. Now you're loving God. Loving them as God loves you. And I'm telling you, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But don't let no fox come back into your life. Keep your heart with all diligence, because I guarantee it, out of it are the issues of life. Amen? Let's take 1 minute, ask God to start doing this is the beginning of a work for a lot of you. It may take weeks, months, or even a couple years. You keep doing it and pulling up the weeds. You keep casting him into the sea. You do not allow nothing to come in and stop you from doing what God's called you to do. I'm telling you, your finances will spring forth. Your healing will spring forth. Your mental, your emotional, everything. Why? Because He causes all things to work together for good to them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. Let's pray for just a minute. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for these people. They are hunger, Father. We preached over an hour, but Father, they are hungry and thirsting, and you said that they will be filled. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to go in and purge them and take this lifting off of heaviness. But it's only them that can make this decision. Show them every day that they need to take to heed unto themselves, and they need to say unto this sycamine tree, whatever it is, make a list of people in your life. Whatever it's bothering you, write it down and go through that list every night. I don't care if it takes 6 months. It took me at least 2 months until I got a breakthrough. And when I did, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, the soil becomes soft again. It becomes soft again. It becomes smooth again. All of a sudden, when I would plant a seed from the Word of God, it would take root and it would bear forth fruit, because I was plucking up the things that were not bearing fruit. No roots of bitterness in our lives, Father. I'm praying and asking you right now, because time is short, and I'm asking you right now to teach us to love. You so loved the world, even when you hung on the cross and they verbally abused you and they accused you and they mocked at you and they laughed at you and they sewed your garments and they did all this, you still had love in your heart and be an example for us, where you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I release them of this debt. I forfeit my right to bring it back up into my thought life. And devil, you are not going to have any place more in my life. The only place I have is at the feet of Jesus. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I pray that the seed will be guarded, Father, not rocks, thorns, or by the wayside. It will be planted on good soil. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Pastor.